turn in the Bible to Ecclesiastes
chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which in the Pew Bible you can find on page 559. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm going to read from verse 1 as far as verse 7, verse 8. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 12, reading from 1 to 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. We come now very close to the end of Ecclesiastes. And in a book in which he keeps returning to the topic of death, we should not be surprised to find at the end of the book one of the most lengthy, powerful, and devastating descriptions of old age and death. Do you want to know what aging is like? Well, he says it's like this. The years of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, I hope he's exaggerating. I hope that when old, there is still pleasure in God and friendship and family. And yet I know I have talked to people in the later years of old age who have said things like, I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why God has me here. I'm ready to go. I've spoken of my accomplished atheist grandfather. He found getting old hard enough that he actually said something revealing, something that could have been an opening. He said to my father, why is getting old so hard? My father carefully thought about this spiritual opening and dropped him a line. I think God wants to get our attention. The years, he says, will come when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, why not? There are so many pleasures. The chocolate in the mouth, the beautiful day we had yesterday, so many pleasures. The children running over the soccer field. Why would you have no pleasure? Well, he says it's like this. When the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. He's not talking astronomy here. He's talking the clouding up of the eye. He's talking the descent of your eyesight. And yes, we have more tools to deal with that now, but you know what? Take a look around. You see an old person? See a lot of glasses on the old people. I know I turned 45 and I began to have trouble doing the laundry. Can this go in the... Why do they make it so small on those tags? You read in the Bible about Isaac. He got so old, he didn't know which son he was dealing with. And so Jacob deceived him. And then Jacob got old, and you know what you read about Jacob? His grandsons are brought to him, and he's like, who's this? Who's this? Somebody's here. But who is it? What's getting old like? It says the clouds return after the rain. That's a bummer, right? Cloudy, it rains, you're like, all right, we needed that, but how about some sunshine now? The clouds return after the rain. It's like, well, it doesn't get better. I understand from those who are older that, you know, when you're young, you get sick and you get better. And you get injured and it hurts and then you get better. But I understand that you get to about 80 and you get hurt and it doesn't get better. And from 80 on, it's just an accumulation of things that don't get better. The clouds return after the rain. I got my cast off. I guess it's not broken anymore, but it still kind of hurts. Or if you suffer some kind of disaster in your finances. If you lose all your money at 30, that's rough, but you'll say, but I'm going to make more money. If you lose all your money at 80, you say, I can't make more money. Things don't get better. The clouds return after the rain. And then starting in verse 3, he goes on, full-on metaphor. A long, extended metaphor. And all the commentators say, yes, he's comparing the decline of your body to the decline of a great house. Although I must say, I thought of my mother-in-law's village, because I've been there multiple times. When she was young, the streets were full of children, except for when they were full of sheep. Were full of sheep being driven by children. But now you walk and it is silent. And there are houses that have fallen down and walls that are bulging, threatening to burst out into the street. And a few old ladies without teeth come around in their black garments. And they want to kiss the children, and the children do not want to be kissed by them. And when I first went there, you could at least hear a donkey. But I don't hear the donkey there anymore. And this is like what we're reading here. Decline of the body. When the keepers of the house tremble. What protects you? Well, I fall down, I catch myself. I've got arms to ward you off if you want to punch me. These are the keepers of the house. And when you get old, they tremble. And the strong men are bent. And sometimes if you go maybe to an aging congregation that has seen all of its children grow up and go off to greener pastures, you see the men who carried that congregation along, and then you meet them later in life and you see that they are bent. You say, who's going to take care of this congregation? The strong men are bent. But if you apply it to the body, where's your strong muscles in your body? They're in your legs. The legs carry you where you want to go. But when you get old, then they tremble. You are bent. And you don't want to carry things up and down the stairs. And you wonder how you'll move, and you hope there'll be some young people who can run up and down the stairs 100 times, the way you used to do. But now you're satisfied with one. And the grinders cease because they are few. He's speaking of the ancient world where you had to take your wheat or your barley and you had to grind it up to turn it into flour that you could actually cook with. And so it was a big process to grind it up with a stone or a mortar, pestle, whatever it was. It'd be a continuous sound. You'd always be hearing somewhere in the village, somewhere in your house. It'd be a recurring thing that you need some grinding. Is it boring? Do you want to do it together? It'd be a social time, maybe, for those who grind. And then they cease because they are few. Only he's speaking of the body.
And I've already mentioned the toothless woman.
Because that's why you grind your food before you swallow it, is your teeth. They grind them until they fall out. And your grinding ceases because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed, the eyes. The doors on the street are shut. As you get old, you get out less. And your friends have passed, they don't come around to see you. And your social life withers and the doors are shut. And you rise up at the bird. I understand when you get older, you don't sleep as well. I think I'm just on the edge of starting to experience that. But yeah, you talk to older people, they just don't sleep as well. Go to the bathroom, people going back to sleep. You rise up at the sound of a bird. Anything can wake you up, but not because your hearing's so good. It goes on also to say, but the sound of the grinding is low. And all the daughters of song are brought low. They're still singers. You just can't hear them as well. Barzillai said, can I still hear singing men and singing women? And they're afraid also of what is high. You know, when you're young, you spring up the steps. When you're young, you climb the mountain. You go out on the outcropping and you stand there and look out. When you're young, you're up the tree, and then your grandparents sometimes tell you to get out of the tree. Get out of that tree! Grandpa, didn't you tell me a story about how you used to play tag in trees? I'm just climbing. No, get down, because I'm scared. Yeah, the kids are fine up in the tree. But the old folks are scared, because they know they can't climb the tree. They know if they were in that tree, you'd be calling the fire department to get them out. Afraid also of what is high. And terrors are in the way. I don't know if I can walk that far. I don't know if I can drive that far. I don't think I'm going to make it to Cyprus again. And so the world shrinks because you're afraid of falling or crashing or not being able to make it that far. And the almond tree blossoms. Evidently it blossoms white. And the grasshopper drags itself along. Picture a big bug on a cold day. It's this ungainly, skinny thing kind of inching its way along. And so was an old person, bent over and dragging himself along. And desire fails because you got no energy or capacity to do anything. And so we read about Barzillai, still able to give the orders and provide for the king and his household. He's a very wealthy man. But when he's invited to go up to court and have the king return the favor, he says, what's the point of me going up there? You give me something to ride to get up to there. But I wouldn't enjoy it when I was there. So let me go home to the grave of my father and my mother. Aging's not for the faint-hearted. It takes courage. Aging is like a house falling apart or like an abandoned village. And just a few old people left. The last one out, turn off the lights. And then he says, dying is like this, verse 6 and 7. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken. And if you want to press it medically, you can call that the spinal cord in the brain. The cord is snapped, the life is over. The brain goes, the life is over. Or if that seems too medical, you can just make this whole verse about the well. Every day, you'd have to go out and get water to drink. Don't get the water, you're not going to live. And so every day, you'd see people. They'd go to the well in the village. There they are. We still see him. He's come in to get the water. Until the day he doesn't come. He doesn't get the water. And I can compare it to having the well machinery broken. Because nobody's going for the water when the neighbor dies. And then he says, enough with the metaphor. Verse 7 is the language of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. He says, and the dust returns to the earth as it was. And he has the words of Genesis 2. Genesis 2, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. So here it says, and at the end, and the spirit returns to God who made it. And so we've God at the beginning of our passage, your creator. We've God at the end of our passage, the spirit returns to God who made it. Just as God is at the beginning, at the end of every human life, forming us. We know not how, in the womb, and receiving our spirit when we pass away. He omits here the resurrection of the body. Either not yet revealed, or not yet revealed to him. But not really in the scope of his work, because he's getting us to see the vanity of living for this life alone. The vanity of restricting our minds and our attentions and our concerns simply to what can be seen under the sun. He's saying, if it's only what's under the sun, then vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Every year our church has a synod meeting for the ministers and elders to do the work of the church. The synod meeting used to be over a Sunday. And so I heard from a gentleman just a little bit older than me about his first synod. Over the Sunday, getting your cars together, go off to a church. He got in a car with the older, retired pastors. And they were going to a church at some distance, so they had a lot of time to talk in the car. And so he was a young man of 30, and he had all these old men of 75, and they spent the half-hour ride to church talking about their old man health problems. Until J. Paul McCracken turned to Matt with his gold tooth glinting. And he said, are we scaring you, youngster? Matt's a big, tough guy. He's not easily intimidated. But he had to say, yeah, a little. And yet he did not say that the tone was despairing in that call. What was grim at points? Well, the men were suffering. They were not despairing. Because they had known about this passage, and they'd known about its application in their lives, and they knew about the beginning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Death is inevitable, unless the Lord comes first. Death and taxes are the famous inevitable things. And death is mentioned first. Because while you might find a way to cheat on your taxes, you won't find a way to cheat death. Death is this great inevitable thing, and the way to deal with it is not to hurry it. It's not to pretend that it won't be you. It's not to try to forget about it. It's to be reconciled with your Maker. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Here's your greatest relationship with the one who made you, the one who is ever present to you. And as we're relational beings, that becomes our greatest job, reconciliation with our Maker. Remember your Creator. That is, believe in God, not just that God exists. Yes, necessary first point, that God is. Believe second, that He rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. You must believe that God rewards those who seek Him. Otherwise, we're believing unbelievers. So, like, yeah, there's a God, but what good does that do? That's not what we mean by faith in God. We mean that trust that He rewards those who seek Him. And He promises that when you seek Me with your whole heart, you will find Me. We're not to be seekers. The Bible actually has a sneering point for the Athenians, who were always trying to learn something new. But when are they going to find and rest in what is true? We're to seek to be reconciled with the Lord. And when we realize that we cannot crack through the heavens and get to Him, we realize We must look for where he has cracked the heavens to come down to us. We must look for where he has spoken to us. We're to see here in Jesus Christ a Savior unlike any other. The one who has come down from heaven not only to show us the way to heaven, but to give his body to make the way to heaven. The one who comes down, not for his sake, but for ours. Remember God. It's a great world he made us. You can get entranced by this world. You can be carried away by just seeking to know it and to investigate it, maybe try to rule it, and have its pleasures. But this man who did all those things says, and yet all that wasn't enough for me. Because God put eternity into our hearts. Respond to that by remembering the Creator in the days of your youth. But you have an enemy. He's known by many names, and one of them is the devil. And it says that we're not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. So at this very point, let us identify the devil's schemes. He has one scheme for you who are young, and another scheme for those of you who are old. And since I don't know how those of you in the middle want to identify, I'll make sure to keep looking at you too. What is the devil's scheme here? When you hear, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What is the opening scheme? He says, why? Why remember your Creator when you're young? Let the old people go to church. You got things to do Saturday night. You got other things to do. How do we answer the devil? Trying to tell the young people, later, 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 later. Have you been reading Ecclesiastes? He's already told you that if you want to have a better life now, come to know your Creator. No, he doesn't guarantee you a life without suffering. No, he doesn't guarantee any such thing. But if you want to know the purpose of things, come to know the Lord now. He's already said, I lived for pleasure for a while. It was fun for a moment, and then it became pointless. A life devoted to pleasure, it's meaningless. It's through meaning and purpose and understanding that you will find peace. And you find that when you come to your Creator. Though you may suffer for it, better to know the Lord now than not to know the Lord. If you would find life worth living, remember the Lord in your youth. Not only that, but let us also remember a couple important things. The fine print the devil does not draw your attention to when he tells you to leave off the Lord till later. You may not have a later. You may not reach it to 80. You may not reach to 30. Oh, you'll probably make 30, but you may not. You may not have a later. Or hear this family story from my believing grandfather, a pastor, who said, tell people not to count on a deathbed conversion. The mind is so filled with pain, you can't think straight. Or consider this also. You've been brought today to hear the Word of God. You do not know when the Lord will bring you here again. Bring you to this place where you are thinking and where the Lord's command is set before you clearly. Today, the Word of God says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And finally, who made you? Who gave you these things? Was it not your Creator? Well, then why would you be so full of ingratitude not to devote your life to Him? You owe it to Him. He gave it to you. What kind of hard-hearted ingratitude is it to say, yes, thank you for this life. I don't want to talk to you for another 50 years. This is not the sign of a healthy mind. So if the devil is telling you, later,
later. He meant remember your Creator in the days of your old age. No, he says remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because you know you have that youth, and you don't know what else you will have. In your youth, for then you will know your Maker and have that satisfaction, that peace, that purpose that comes from having that sense of the whole. But the devil has another scheme for those of you who are old. To the old, he presses the point. It said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Too late for you. If you didn't listen to him when you're young, it's too old. It's too much time has gone by now. God's sick of you because you're old and never listened. All the things you've done in your 70 years, this passage isn't for you. It's for the young people. She knows how the devil always wants to convince you that the Word of God is for somebody else. If you're young, he wants you to think it's for the old, and if you're old, he wants you to think it's for the young. Always and ever, he wants you not to listen to what God is saying. Well, people, you have a great advantage on the young. Several advantages. For one, the old are much more certain that, in fact, they will die. The young can't disagree, but they don't really believe it. The old know. Because they know these scars are darkened and that the strong men grow bent. And they all have this other advantage. The old know that they will not be working off their sins, which is not how God works anyway. And yet we still want to think it. But when you know that your sins have added up, and you know that you must seek peace with God by some other way than by what you are going to do, by what you are going to earn. You're not going to earn this reward from the Lord. And that is good when we realize that. Because when our mind is concentrated that we need reconciliation with our Maker, then we look to Jesus Christ who came to bring that reconciliation. Then we understand the point of the cross where our sins are forgiven. Then we know experientially, yes, I need that because I don't have another alternative. I don't have another game plan. I can only ask God for forgiveness. And on what basis will he forgive me if not to the offering of his very own son? Can I offer something to match up to that? Can I say, no, God, not that sacrifice. I've got one here. You know, it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. And as we said, the elderly can't do much. But if you're listening with understanding this morning, you can do that. So the devil's schemes at this point are fairly transparent. Let us see through them and move on. Martin Luther is said once to have thrown his shoe at the devil, himself in his cell, feeling tempted. Wanted to give some kind of physical expression of his rejection of the temptation. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And if you've gotten old, you're to keep remembering your Creator, or to begin to remember your Creator. Because whether you're young, old, or somewhere in between, you need to know that this body that you feed and fawn over will return to dust. And the spirit that animates you will return to God who gave it. And the silver cord will snap and the golden bowl will be broken. So don't flail through life careening ignorantly towards that end. Remember your Creator. And then you can live and die in peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that indeed you would help us to remember you. Lord, we're surrounded by things that would make us forget our end. That would have us forget that we are dust. And yet today you brought us to be reminded of that. Help us, Lord, to respond wisely and to seek you. I pray this in Jesus' name.